Revelation chapter 8. Oh, let me turn this on. I haven't done that yet, have I?
Did you guys ever see the video of that preacher yelling at the guys in the sound booth, calling up their kingdom up there in the sound booth? Have you seen that before? Yeah, I've started doing that to you all. You guys get your own little kingdom going on up there. All right, Revelation chapter 8. And we're going to go from verse 6 down through to verse 13. Last week was sort of the introduction to this. We saw that silence in heaven. I'll be reviewing that here again in just a second. But let's go ahead and start reading there in verse 6 down through the end of the chapter. Says, and the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and a third part of the trees was burnt up, and all the green grass was burnt up. And the second angel, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire, was cast into the sea, and a third part of the sea became blood, and a third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and a third part of the ships were destroyed. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of water. And the name of the star is called Wormwood, and the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and a third part of the moon, and a third part of the stars, so that a third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, now notice, and the night likewise. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, by reason of the other voices of the trumpets of the three angels, which are yet to sound. Let's go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we do love you. We pray your blessing upon the service tonight. Lord, we pray that you would work and teach us your word that would draw us closer to you. Lord, we know this is all about you, so we pray that you would do that. And Lord, please fill me with your spirit and control me. And I pray that you would work in this and it would be help to us. If there's anyone here who does not know Christ as Savior, Lord, we do pray for their salvation. Please bless and work, Father. I love you. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Again, back in the book of Revelation tonight in the series, and we're going to go through those first four trumpets of the seven that are sounded. Should be pretty straightforward tonight. The verses are very straightforward here. But anyhow, by way of review, let's start that off. Of course, we've entered the seven-year tribulation time. That started with the opening of the very first seal. So it's not the rapture of the church that takes place that starts it. Prior to that, after the rapture of the church comes the breaking of the first seal. When that happens, you've now started the seven-year time frame. Now, no doubt, based when we look in the Bible, that's going to be very close. Those two events are going to be closely related to each other. And so we've entered the tribulation time frame. Again, we're about the halfway point we're at right now, and that's kicking off really with that sixth seal that opened up. But we saw the first, of course, with the first seal, we saw the false peace with the Antichrist who came. Then we saw the war that followed after that. The peace was broken, war hit. Then we saw the famine and pestilence, and then we saw the death with 25% of the world's population. The prayer of all the martyrs was the fifth seal. And then the sixth seal we got to is that tremendous earthquake that literally shook the entire planet and changed the entire planet. And the purpose of that one was fear. We're going to tie more into that a little bit with what was going on here, especially with the end of chapter 8. But that was fear. That was not man-related. That was God, divine intervention into the earth that caused that earthquake. And the Bible was very clear. Every man knew that they were being judged of God. Every single man knew they were being judged of God. It was just an incredible, incredible earthquake. And we talked about all that would have happened through an earthquake of that magnitude, with the volcanoes that were going off, how literally the islands were moved, the mountains were moved. It will be such an incredible event. And then we got into last week. I'll come back to chapter 7 later. That's parenthetical. We got into last week, the beginning to get into the seventh seal, which was open. And the seventh seal, remember, that's key. That controls everything else, actually. You have the three sets of seven, but it is that seventh seal that is releasing the seven trumpets and the seven vials. Those are all underneath that last seal that takes place right there. And so we talked about that last week when we saw the opening of the seventh seal, and then there was that silence in heaven for 30 minutes. And I tried to demonstrate just how awesome that would be when we have a moment of silence now for 30 seconds when you're at a stadium or somewhere. It's just such an odd thing to be sitting there for 30 seconds with 80,000 people around and nobody making a noise. But then imagine being in heaven with literally all the tons of multitudes that are going to be there, all the heavenly hosts, all the people that are there, and yet it goes silent for 30 minutes. And that was due to the awesomeness of what was getting ready to take place, of what the seventh seal, when that opened, what it was going to be releasing. Because that was going to flood the earth with this last 3.5 years of the severity of the judgments that's going to hit upon mankind, which is going to be concluding, of course, with Jesus Christ coming back and establishing His kingdom on the earth. Getting to that day and time, everything pressing forward to that mark where every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So everybody in heaven is understanding when that seal is broken. This is events that have been waiting for literally for 6,000 years. It was to happen right now since the fall of man. The opening of that seal, I even mentioned it last week, apart from Calvary, is the single most important event since the fall of Adam, not counting Calvary itself. It is the Lord taking the earth back. It is Him getting ready to put His kingdom right here on the earth, and that is unleashing all the events that will lead to it. And so again, we looked at that last week. So again, we're around the halfway point, and we looked we got into it last week, the start of chapter 8, when the seventh, let me read the first couple of verses here again. It says, when He had opened the seventh seal, there was a silence in heaven for about the space of a half an hour. And the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there was voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. So you have this awesome event that takes place, simulating what we see take place in the Old Testament. With the priest, which is what would happen. That was what we talked about last, what Zechariah was doing. The angel appeared to him, going from the brazen altar, getting fire from that where the sacrifices were made, then going to the altar of incense, which is right before the holiest of holies, right before the veil, and lighting the incense there for that smoke to come up, representation of the prayers. And they did that twice a day, and the people were praying during that time. And so we have an angel doing that, that represented all the prayers of the saints for the return of Christ, for the vengeance, for God to do justly. And now it's getting ready to take place. And so now when we come up to our sections, the section tonight of the last half of verse 28, we have four of the seven trumpets that are going to be launched now. Now what's interesting here is there's only seven verses that deal with the first four trumpets. That's it. But if we read on, there is a total of 50 more verses that deal with the last three. So the first four is pretty straightforward what's taking place, but the game changes when the next three are launched. Everything's devastating. You can see the increase in devastation as it's going along. But it takes seven verses to cover the first four trumpets, and it's going to take 50 verses to cover the next three trumpets. So it's interesting, the increase here. But again, tonight's will be pretty straightforward. But we do need to understand what is coming and allow the fear of the Lord to help us with our walk with God, and to know that one day God is going to straighten this mess out. All right, so let's get into this. Let's get into the trumpets that we have released now. It was started last week with the silence in heaven. The seven angels, the archangels, because of their proximity, this means they're prime. They're important. They're before the throne. And so it's likely, again, that we have Michael here. It's likely that we have Gabriel here. It doesn't say that, but these are primary angels that we're dealing with. So the first trumpet, let's get into that. Let's go down here to verse number 7. It says, the first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood. And they were cast upon the earth, and a third part of the trees was burnt up, and all the green grass was burnt up. So we have this hail, fire, and blood now with this first trumpet that is sounded, falling down from heaven. I mean, think of this. This will be somewhat worldwide, unless the Lord strategically places it just for a third. But more than likely, it's worldwide. That is going to be destroying a third of all vegetation on the planet. You're going to have this hail and fire coming down. That sight's just going to be awesome. Think how that's going to affect you. Think of all the planes that are traveling that are going to be coming down immediately, crashing to the earth when this begins. Those planes aren't going to make it through the storm like this. This isn't something they can fly above. And then the inhabitants of the earth who were there at the time, all of a sudden seeing this take place. I imagine most of us have been through a hailstorm. We usually get them pretty good in New Mexico when we were stationed there. Usually in August, about this time of year, July and August, usually in the afternoons, a thunderstorm would always roll in. And maybe as much as half, maybe 25% to half the time, we would have hail with it. But usually it was just small. Usually, you know, the size from a BB to maybe not quite golf ball size. But every now and then, like every couple of years, you'd have a really good one. And the hail would come down. But this hail is of judgment. We're not going to be talking this little bitty things that are going to be coming down. The purpose of this is for judgment. I had an Air Force friend in Oklahoma. They had a hailstorm hit. And he had his car in the garage. And this was a lost guy. He put his car in the garage. But so many cars were damaged, and he wanted to get insurance money. So what he did was he took a baseball bat to his own car and claimed that it was hail damage. But it didn't match. The hail damage was much greater, so the insurance did not cover his claim at all. So he was stuck with a car that he beat up with a baseball bat. But this case, I think this one will bust your garage right open and will affect your car. And I think State Farm will be out of business by this time. I'd say probably by the end of year one, the insurance companies are out of business. So, anyhow, this is taking place right here. You have it mixed with fire and mixed with blood. And that's it. I have no idea what the blood's about. Sometimes I wonder, I didn't read that anywhere in any comment or anything, but I just wonder if it isn't blood of all the unborn babies that the earth has slain in a mother's womb. But nonetheless, this judgment is going to be strong. Hail has been used in judgment in the Bible. We see in Isaiah 28:2, Job 38, verse 22 and 23, where God uses hail as a form of judgment. And again, the fire as well. Just imagine the sight of this with fire, blood, and hail raining down from the sky. And just incredible. Now, a lot of the commentaries, if you're going through this, and I would strongly disagree with a lot of them, they tried to symbolize what's taking place with the first four trumpets. They tried to make it look something political, some type of social meaning to it, without taking it literally, just because by what they were reading. They're reading about hail, blood, and fire coming down from heaven. They're reading about something as a mountain being cast into the sea. And so they tried to, even a lot of good men were trying to take it from a literal to symbolic. And really, I think exactly what we're reading is exactly what's going to take place. I think it calls for a literal interpretation of the scripture here. And you say, why? In thinking about that, I wrote it down. You don't have to turn there. I want you to think about this verse. Ezekiel chapter 38, verse 22 and 23. It says, "I will plead against him with pestilence and with blood. And I will rain upon him and upon his bands and upon the many people that are with him an overflowing rain and great hailstones, fire and brimstone. Thus will I magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations, and they shall know that I am the Lord God." That's why it's going to be so spectacular. That's why it's going to be so hard for them to explain from a scientific standpoint. Is because they're going to know from the sixth seal on, this is all of God. That's what they're going to know. There's not going to be a doubt in anyone's mind about what is happening. They're not going to be able to have a weatherman stand up on the television screen and justify what's taking place as this little freak occurrence, but it's just fine. We're not being judged of a creator. Don't worry about it. No, they're going to know. That's why it's going to be miraculous. That's why it is going to be spectacular. God wants them to know that. That was his conclusion in Ezekiel 38. I'm going to do this great thing so you will know I am the Lord. Again, many times the Lord does things in our life as Christians in a way to show that he is the Lord. It's much better to be on our side of it, though, than on this side of it. Because when he does it in our life, it's always in the good. You know, he'll allow events to come out where you think there's just no way, nothing's going to happen, but then he intervenes. And you know what you'd think? He is the Lord. He's in control of this. Again, I remember we headed out on deputation. I ripped my motorhome open. Daniel cuts his thumb off. I got to cancel all these meetings is what I'm thinking. And just how miraculously the Lord worked it out. I went from fretting and praying and frustrated at all the events taking place the very first week of deputation. And then how within hours, everything was solved. From a motorhome ripped open to repaired for free in hours and back on the road. Without that event taking place, I don't have that awe of God. They're going to have an awe of God here, but this one's based purely in fear. Because it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. So, with this first trumpet, though, a third of vegetation is devoured. It's gone. A third of farmland destroyed. A third of crops destroyed. A third of all trees, including fruit trees, will be gone. This is going to lead to such a massive economic collapse because the earth is already struggling from all the devastation, from the earthquake, from the war, from the famine, and now this hits. You're talking an utter economic collapse that will take place in the world. A third of all that is gone. A third of all the trees is gone. That will affect, the tree huggers are going to have a really tough day when this one hits. And that will affect the nature of the earth in reading about this, with all those gone like that, that will affect so much more about our planet. A third of it is gone. Again, with that economic collapse, there's going to be massive food shortages throughout the world. And the world was already struggling with food due to everything that had taken place already. But think of all the violence that this is going to lead to. Of course, prices are going to be astronomical now to get food. People will do whatever they can now because they're going to be starving to death. The violence will be incredible. The murders will be everywhere. The earth will suddenly become a very, very dangerous place to live, even when there isn't judgments falling out of the sky. People will be acting purely out of fear and survival. So a third of the third of vegetation is destroyed with that one. Now the timing of these trumpets, we're not certain. By the reading, it appears they're very close together and very consecutive. Really, for that matter, coming throughout all of this. We know they're all going to take place within a 3.5 year time frame. The only one we have a time frame given is going to be, when we get into the vials, there's going to be a 5-month time frame that is given. So we don't have any clue if that's standard. We just don't know. But by the reading, especially of these four, they almost appear just to be one after another, after another, after another, but we're just not certain. But let's go on to the second trumpet now. We had all that was devoured with the first, and now we have destruction with 8 and 9. It says, and the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and a third part of the sea became blood. And a third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died. And a third part of the ships were destroyed. So again, here's another spectacular sight that I believe the world will witness. A massive, massive object hits an ocean. It's going to hit an ocean. And we don't know if this is an asteroid. That's certainly possible. That's going to hit our planet with this. It lines up the size of a mountain coming in, all the devastation that would take place. And whatever it is, we do know that this event will destroy a third of the world's oceans. Some speculate that this whatever it is, whether it's an asteroid or just something sent right from heaven, will either destroy the Pacific or the Atlantic Ocean is going to be taken out. Which you could imagine what that would do. I would even think, let's just say it's an asteroid, because that certainly is a likely possibility. They're probably going to know at least a few days ahead of time that it's coming. Remember, I talked about it before when we were dealing with getting into Revelation, how we had events occur just in the last couple of years when they realized really, really too late that there was an asteroid right around the corner. They're like, wow, we missed that one. And it came super close to Earth. But if they do know it's coming, I mean, I think that event will basically almost be televised, where people will be seeing this thing coming in. I think God's going to want them to see it coming in. A third part of the ocean, of course, a third part of the creatures are dead. A third part of the ocean is going to be as blood. Now, here's what Henry Morris had to say about this event. He said, the ability to turn water into blood, either by filling it with the actual blood of dead animals, or more likely by transforming it chemically or biochemically into blood-red water, poisoned by multitudes of dead microorganisms, as in the well-known red tides, which occur infrequently in modern oceans, made such an impression on ancient Israel that it was recorded in their songs such as Psalm 78 and Psalm 105. The impression, he writes, made on the world's inhabitants in this great future day when suddenly fully a third of the world's oceans become as blood can well be imagined. So he's given scenarios. We've seen it happen to a smaller degree before and the chemical change that led to that. And he's saying, just imagine all of a sudden, the earth is almost all water. I mean, imagine all of a sudden a third of the ocean is becoming as blood. A third of the ocean life is dead. And then it mentions specifically all the shipping vessels destroyed. Think of the chaos that will ensue with shipping routes. We learned a little bit about them just trying to ship back and forth between over to Asia side, the United States side, with how complicated and how busy that is. I could imagine the mess it's going to make with a third of it gone, and how more important trying to repair damage that's been done across the earth from everything that's occurred, and now shipping lanes taken out. And a third of the vessels available for it gone. I mean, they're trying to get food. There's already food shortages from what happened from the first trumpet and everything else. And no doubt they're trying to get food. Man's trying to fight against the judgments. Man always does. Now their efforts are going to be greatly, greatly hindered. That moves us to the third trumpet, which is going to lead to a lot of death. Verse 10. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. And it fell from a... And it fell upon a third part of the waters, of the rivers, and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood, and a third part of the waters became as wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. So we have vegetation that's been taken out, a third of it. A third of the ocean now is gone, and now we get to a third of fresh water that has been that is gone, causing mass death. So some type of star or object, what it means, falls from heaven, burning like a lamp. The previous one was more of a solid object. This is giving the idea of something more liquid in nature falling to the earth, but still composed. It falls from heaven like a lamp and hits our fresh water supply, to the point of a third of all fresh water has been literally poisoned. And reading in this, it was interesting because there's about 100 major rivers in the world. 30 of those are in the United States alone. So at least a third of those are going to be infected with this, and they will become poison. Again, this is going to produce mass death. And the fountains of water, that's your well. You think your well water is going to be all right. It's not. A third of those will be poison. So death will follow this. Multitudes upon multitudes will die. One, you have to remember, you have to have water to live. You have to have water. Infrastructure has been destroyed by an earthquake. Shipping routes are devastated. There's not a lot of vessels out there. Trying to get people in to help and move them around is just not there. There's going to be people living in areas where all of a sudden, literally through one event, there is no drinking water. It's gone. Death will follow. And no doubt, you're going to get to a point of thirst. You're just going to drink that water. That's what's going to happen. And then that water will kill you because it has been made poison. It says the name of this star that falls to the earth is called Wormwood. It's the word used here is a Greek word. It's the only time it's used here in the Bible. Wormwood is also used, though, in the Hebrew word in the Old Testament. But it was interesting. It has a tie-in with alcohol, actually. Deadly liquor. Which I think that's what they should call alcohol anyhow, deadly liquor. But it has a tie-in with alcohol. It's also called a substance called absinthe. And the word is, again, only used here once, and it's really hard to trace a lot of it to it here. There was different branches of it going out when I was trying to track it down, but it used several times in the Old Testament for different reasons, and there was even a connection to it in regards to the gall that was given to Christ when he was on the cross, that he rejected, of course. And so, but nonetheless, it was a poison. It was something that wasn't good for man. It was a poison is what the meaning that it's driving at. And so that hits the waters to the point that a third of all the fresh water is devastated. A third of the ocean is gone. A third of the vegetation is gone. A third of the fresh water has been destroyed. And then we get to the fourth one here. We've had the destruction. We've had the devouring take place. We've had the death. And now we have darkness. It says in verse 12, and the fourth angel sounded, and a third part of the sun was smitten. This is interesting here what takes place. And a third part of the moon, and a third part of the stars. So the third part of them was darkened, and day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. So this is interesting what takes place here. With the fourth trumpet, this one, everything else has only affected a third of the planet. But the nature of this one will affect the entire planet. Again, so something happens in the heavens that affects, it's going to affect everything here. And this one really is incredible. Something takes place where the sun will basically lose a third of its power instantly. The moon is a reflection of the sun. If the sun has gone a third, then the moon has gone a third. How we view the heavens is directly tied into the power and strength of our sun. So when the sun loses a third, the moon will lose a third of its light as well, because it reflects the sun. Now think of the drastic, immediate temperature change that will hit the earth. You would not want to be an Alaskan resident when this one hits. This one was, is this Henry Morse? I did not write the name down. I think this is Henry Morse right here as well, talking about this event. I might have the name wrong here because I don't have it written down, but I'm going to quote anyhow. I think it's Henry Morse, though. The loss of solar heat will cause radical drops in temperature over the earth. What that means is severe changes in meteorology. What that means is violent storms, weather changes that are absolutely unpredictable and unknown to man. There will be a total interruption of the botanical and biological cycle of the earth. As that begins to change, everything in the world starts to go mad. Now, remember, this is going to affect every area of life, because all of a sudden, your 24-hour day in one event is changed to a 16-hour day. A third of day and night is gone. So now your clocks are useless. It's over with. That's done with. A third of it is gone. Some speculate, Morris talked about how, he just gave scenarios how this might happen. How could the sun do that? Of course, it's going to be a miracle of God is what it is, and that's really what he grabs onto here. He says here, a naturalistic scientist might object that such a thing is impossible. This, however, would be to say more than he knows. The nature both of the internal reactions in the sun and the external reactions on the sun's surface are still unknown, which is very true. They're always changing as they try and study the sun and learn about it. The argument he's making is they don't know all there is to know about the sun. Therefore, if you don't have all that knowledge, you can't conclude what it can and what it cannot do. Solar physicists, until recently, were confident that the sun's output of radiant energy resulted mainly from a thermonuclear fusion process in the sun's interior. Now, however, the absence of the flux of solar neutrinos, whatever those are, from the sun, which should be generated by such reactions, is causing complete rethinking of the whole problem. Recent evidence that the sun is measurably shrinking in size apparently meant that much of the sun's energy's output results from gravitational collapse. Presumably, this would be true of other stars as well. Thus, if the gravitational shrinking of the sun could be slowed down for a time, possibly its light output would also be slowed down in the correct proportion. Then he asked, he's still talking here. He said, can angels somehow reduce the gravitational force in the sun's mass? Since no one knows exactly what gravity is anyhow, who's to say that they can't? Since solar physicists even yet do not really comprehend either the full nature or gravitational process of a solar radiation procedure, and since it is at least plausible that God's mighty angels do understand such things, we're safe in assuming God's hosts are quite capable of accomplishing this tremendous hiatus in the normal operation of all the heavenly bodies. So he's just showing an argument how it's plausible of what could take place, where all of a sudden a sun loses a third of its power. I mean, those effects on this planet is just going to be amazing. Now, we do know it recovers, and maybe the other ones begin to recover as well. Maybe the vegetation begins to grow back. Remember back in, what was that Big Lake fire? Back in 97, 98, when that fire rolled through Big Lake, I mean, just 96, is that when it was? I remember that. So it was May of 96 then. But you've seen stuff beginning to recover not far after that. All of a sudden, things were beginning to recuperate. So my guess is that will begin to take place here. We know the sun has to recover because of what's coming in the future. It's the opposite effect. It's not going to be cold. It's going to be mass heat. The sun's power is going to be increased and not decreased. But still, all this is hitting the earth. And again, we don't know the timing of it. From reading of it, it appears to be the setting that's given from verse 1 down through verse 13 that these first four do hit pretty consecutively. And then to finish this off, we have something interesting that takes place in verse 13. The four trumpets have hit. Now look what God does. It says, "And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, 'Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, by reason of other voices of the trumpets of the three angels, which are yet to sound.'" Now the idea here is that the inhabitants of the earth are seeing and hearing this. And he gives them this three-phased woe here of letting them know of what is to come. And he's telling them, listen, what you've just went through is nothing compared to what you're getting ready to see happen. Lord's openly letting the heavens know, and I believe possibly even the earth know, that the three more to come is nothing compared to what you just saw. And it's very true. Because the game plan changes. We're going to get into a lot of demonic stuff from this point on with what the Lord's going to be doing. It's going to change. It's going to be much more fierce from this point on. So God has attacked just about every aspect of the earth with the first four trumpets. Really, what he's attacking, what he has been attacking, is what many on the earth have been worshiping, the creation. Now, we see that in Romans chapter 1 and verse 27, where man was worshiping and serving the creation more than the Creator. And the Lord is attacking them right at their God. So an angel is sent to give a message to the earth, a grave warning of what is to come. Angels letting them know what is about to happen is far worse. You know, I see this really as a call to repentance, of God still saying, repent. Remember, we talked about that. We saw that in Revelation chapter 7. The greatest revival the world will ever see takes place during the 7-year time frame. No other revival is closer to it. Because the multitudes that come to know Christ, when we have that glimpse at the conclusion of chapter 7, you couldn't even count. And those were those that were saved and died still, that weren't alive anymore, during the tribulation time frame. Again, I think it's a call to repentance. For those who can, turn to Christ now. Listen to the two witnesses that are still actively. The two witnesses' ministry is still going on at this point. It's getting ready to be over with, but it's still going on right now. And of course, we have the 144,000 who have already been sealed and are preaching the gospel throughout the planet, trying to let people know to turn to Christ. He is the only answer. That's not going to take them out of the judgment right now, but that is the answer. Because those who die in these judgments go straight to a lake of fire. That's what's going to happen. They're going right to hell the moment they die. It's not going to get any better. Their pain and fear is going to be multiplied to a whole nother level. Because what they'll be going through will not end for eternity. There will not be one second. There will not be one break. There will not be one pause. But God sends an angel, warning of what is to come. And listen, if you are here tonight and you have never put your faith in Christ, please, there is no reason to wait. Life is all about Him. The Bible is not a fairy book. It's not a fairy tale book. It's very true. It's reality. If you have not done that, if there's never been a time in you when you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ, well, I would encourage you, do that here this evening. He is what life is all about. And the great thing is, because the rapture has not taken place, those who have placed their faith in Jesus Christ are spared from all these events when God judges the earth. We're taken out of here. We'll be gone. So it certainly is something to consider. And for us as Christians, again, it's us understanding the awesomeness of God, of understanding what is coming, and hoping that draws us closer to Him even now. With heads bowed and eyes closed.